riots and student protests across the UK.
This has been one of the biggest student demonstrations in more than a decade.
Students, eh? They're always kicking off about something.
But the way things have gone recently, perhaps they're right to be annoyed. Let me explain.
I'm Jeff Norcott, stand-up comedian.
Is everyone feeling good?
An author.
Welcome to Question Time.
And political commentator.
And I think it's time that politicians start being honest.
And when I went to uni, it was a time to explore choices, you know, make mistakes, have fun.
Look how much fun it was. And it was free.
And now, proud dad myself, I've started thinking about what uni might be like for Jeff Jr. And from what I'm hearing, things ain't great.
Lecturers have been striking. And 69% of graduates feel their degree wasn't even worth it.
Join me now, showing what we think of these.
There's tabloid headlines about inflated grades, and worst of all, it now costs an absolute fortune. So I should be putting away a bit of money now so that Jeff Jr. can follow in my footsteps, but I also need a new motor. So I'm going to hit the road to find out where my money's best spent and start doing some research. Feels like proper protest.
I'll see how students are coping.
£20 for 2 weeks groceries. Sometimes less, actually.
We're just feeding the duck.
That's the society, is feeding duck.
There's a society for basically everything.
Someone started a homeless society.
I'll check out uni alternatives.
Perfect.
I feel like I should have like a massive Red Bull. Just be sitting there like that.
And see if AI means there's no point in going anyway.
Sausages followed by chicken
speaking
nuggets.
Speaking Welsh. That's a lovely language.
I'm not speaking Welsh. And at the end, I'll decide, do I start a university fund for Jeff Jr. or does Daddy get a new motor?
Is university really worth it? A comedy club called Old Rope on London's premiere New Material Night.
I used to be a teacher. Guess what subject I used to teach?
English.
PE.
Which cheeky person said PE? I know what you mean by that. And I know it's not a compliment.
Jeff gets into his car.
Right, let's get going.
I mean, you might be wondering why a comic like me is even doing a documentary like this. I mean, if you've seen me on telly before, I was probably going, oh, you can't say anything these days, or probably taking the mickey out of Keir Starmer's voice. But back in the early noughties, I was a secondary school teacher, and I fully put into the Blair education thing. I even thought he probably should have put in a fourth education, didn't do enough. And I encouraged loads of my students to go to university, loads. However, if the headlines are anything to go by, the university sector is in chaos. So when I say university fund or a new car, it's not actually as frivolous as it sounds. I genuinely need to know if a degree would be a good investment. So first up, South Coast, let's go. And for any route fans out there, I'll probably do M25 westbound stretch, then go down the M23.
But let's see how the traffic is.
Footage of the Brighton University demonstration in June 2023.
At Brighton University, there's a perfect storm brewing. Due to ongoing financial pressure, they claim they need to make £18 million in savings this financial year alone. On top of that, uni management have been talking a lot of shut. There were 5 campuses in the Sussex area, but a few years ago, the university closed the entire Hastings campus.
This footage filmed by students shows the moment Brighton University announced the closure.
You can't afford to go to Brighton.
You have to resign.
And next year, Eastbourne campus will go the same way. Angered by changes, students took matters into their own hands.
This is day 3 of the occupation of the 8th floor.
A floor of management offices was occupied for 11 days.
Students at Brighton University are concerned about their academic futures.
I'm guessing those aren't their real voices.
So today I'm meeting up with a couple of students who actually support these protests, and I'm going to try and find out how things have gone so wrong. I'm Jeff.
I'm Winnie, hi.
Nice to meet you, Winnie.
I'm Kat.
Nice to meet you, Kat. So, I'm here today because I'm guessing you're going to tell me your university experience has been literally everything you were promised.
Well, no, not at all, unfortunately. There have been so many closures of buildings, of gallery spaces, like the one we're outside of now. And we're not happy at all.
Let's go and have a look at the buildings that the university has shut down.
Yeah.
So this one here.
Yeah.
What was it?
A gallery space.
So you're an artist, you need your galleries.
Great knowledge, Jeff.
We're coming up to another building that's been closed down. What was this building?
The School of Humanities.
Okay.
The students occupied it.
The closure coincided with a reduction in the humanities programme, and the university say the art gallery was closed to make studio space for new students.
So there have been protests. Have any of them got a bit tasty?
We have on video assaults of students by Brighton security guard.
Footage of a security guard trying to move a student lying on the ground.
The Brighton security firm involved understandably deny all allegations of assault.
I'm not squeezing her.
What's inflamed the situation is that Brighton's lecturers joined long-running UK strike action over redundancies and pay. In just one of these strikes, lasting 14 days, an estimated 575,000 teaching hours were lost across the UK, affecting around 1 million students.
We'd love to have lessons, but we know that they're striking for the right reasons, and I think the management would like us to be angry at the lecturers, but we're not. We know better, we're angry at them.
Right, so here you're... Was it Comrades, would we say?
Yeah.
Winnie and Kat are taking me on a march in support of the lecturers.
Let's get going, folks!
We're marching to protest against 110 redundancies.
What have we done? Stand up, fight back!
Demands for this march are that all members of the Executive Management Board resign.
Sorry. We're currently doing that thing where we're slowing down traffic. Feels like proper protest stuff. I really feel like I just want to be on the pavement. Every inch of me wants to be there. So, as you probably guess, I'm not really a sort of strikes and protests kind of guy naturally. I understood some of what the lecturers were saying, but I think to the general public, the idea of lecturers being overworked is, you know, it's a hard sell really in some ways. And like with all strikes, it's not the people that run the university that are going to suffer. You know, it's people doing degrees that are ultimately losing face-to-face tuition.
Dear University of Brighton management, were you thinking we would stop, be intimidated? You were wrong.
Brighton University were approached and gave us this statement. Like many universities, we have had to make difficult decisions in the face of growing financial pressures. Our mission is to provide high-quality education to students from all backgrounds. The steps we have taken are designed to make sure that continues. The decision to close Hastings was due to a lack of students choosing to study there. They go on to say that Eastbourne students will be moving to a new hub for sport and health sciences in Brighton with upgraded facilities. And during the strikes, they say 90% of staff carried on working as normal. 105 staff were eventually made redundant.
Students and staff, one in solidarity.
Working class students, they generally don't get into red brick universities as well, and it's all about the red brick, isn't it? I would just say to all the crap universities, just paint your university red. just get some red bricks, if it's that simple.
Hey, your workers!
The protests in Brighton have been repeated across the country.
Edinburgh Uni, the one I go to, spend millions on renovating a building instead of paying their staff. Like, it's genuinely insane.
I think it's important we take a stand. I think it's important we do that with students as well.
And despite my belief that they don't get out of bed until after tipping point, many students actually got up and supported the strikes.
I think it makes you realise that the uni is a business and they're out for themselves.
Multiple unions have organised these strikes, led by the UCU.
Camden.
Hey, Joe.
Hi. Welcome to UCU.
Dr. Joe Grady is the boss of the union, and I want to know what's behind such drastic action.
So, Joe, your members, why have they been striking?
You've got staff who are chronically underpaid in some circumstances. You know, they're on zero-hour contracts, and universities, in recent years, they cut 35% off the pension, which is a lot of money.
How conscious are you and your members of the impact industrial action causes to students, particularly in their final year?
Nobody wants to deny the students of education, but industrial action doesn't happen from nowhere.
In 2018, unions demanded a pay rise of 7.5%. The unis counter-offered with just 2%, and there's been deadlock ever since.
A
how real pay has declined about 29% since 2009.
What's annoying is workers using food banks, whilst the University of Leeds reported a £60 million surplus last year.
But with more paying students than ever before, there is a logical conclusion.
There must be more money. Where's it going?
Well, I think you'd have to speak to vice-chancellors, who are the gaffers.
So these vice-chancellors, yeah. then, what do they get paid?
Some of them, it goes up to, like, £500,000, £600,000.
Well, I mean, that's way more than the actual chancellor.
Yeah, like, several times more.
Another problem is workload. Uni staff report working an average of 15 unpaid hours a week. As a stand-up, I don't even do 15 paid hours a month.
It definitely doesn't work for students because they're paying more and more and more, being piled higher and higher and higher, and the staff that are delivering for them are being spread thinner and thinner and thinner. And that's why there's been strike action.
Universities UK said in a statement, "Our universities are world-leading and respected. It is important they can continue to attract the strongest talent to lead them, with vice-chancellors carrying huge responsibility. Pay is not set by vice-chancellors themselves, but by the chairs of university governing bodies."
Vice-chancellors, some of them on £750,000 a year, earning more than the actual chancellor of the country, which is crazy. Unless the chancellor you're thinking of is Kwasi Kwarteng. Oh, don't be mean to Kwasi. What? Of all the jokes, I didn't expect you to think was out of order. A Kwasi Kwarteng joke. You're like, all right, Jeff, all right, just back up. Geezer's had a really tough year, yeah?
So it's clear that unis today have got a problem with their finances. But how did things end up like this? Well, once upon a time, back in black and white, education was free. Mainly to posh people, it seems. Pass the required exams, then some interviews, and you were in.
But the memories of evenings at Cambridge, sometimes it's a quiet evening, sometimes it isn't.
Even in the early 1960s, only 4% of school leavers went to uni. Fast forward to today, and that's risen to nearly 40%, 10 times as many. In large part due to New Labour's pledge to make sure half of all young adults got a degree.
So today I'm meeting with Lord David Blunkett, who was Education Secretary at a time when New Labour pushed for a lot more people to be going to university and, of course, introduced tuition fees. Lord Blunkett.
Welcome. It's David, by the way.
David, thanks so much for coming to chat.
And the dog is Barley, and any difficult questions and the dog bites you, OK?
OK, well, he seems nice, but you don't get anywhere in politics without a bit of edge. So you were part of the New Labour drive to get half of all young people into higher education. What was the thinking behind that?
Well, the thinking was very clear that the world was changing so rapidly and there hadn't been any investment in universities for the previous 8 years. We were at below average on the number of 18 and 19-year-olds going to university compared with our economic competitors. So it was a no-brainer.
When you got in, was there any chance that you might have kept it free?
No money available. Gordon Brown said to me, "We're going to invest in Sure Start nursery provision. There is no money for universities. And in any case, it does, on the whole, benefit those who are going to do best in life. So why shouldn't they pay a little?"
And so in September 1998, Labour introduced means-tested tuition fees of £1,000. By 2007, this had risen to £3,000 everywhere, apart from Scotland. But during the 2010 election campaign, a hero emerged. Lib Dem leader Nick Clegg pledged his party would scrap tuition fees.
To raise the cap on tuition fees is wrong.
I don't think young people should be saddled with so much debt.
Surely Nick would be able to use his leverage as the definitely respected deputy PM to David Cameron in the coalition government and stop any rise.
Nick Clegg, what are you going to do in the vote for plans to raise fees?
All Liberal Democrat ministers, every single one, will vote for this measure.
Nah, he did the ultimate reverse ferret and helped raise the fees to £9,000 a year in England and Wales. And the students were revolting.
Just, that's it.
And where's Clegg now? It doesn't really matter. Forget it. But the riots didn't stop anything. Now young people are paying, it's become a business model. The degrees are products and the students are consumers.
Islington.
And as with all businesses, there are plenty of dissatisfied customers.
I'm off to meet Tia today. She's an artist, she did an art degree, and she's a bit unsatisfied with how her degree went. I think that's to put it mildly.
Tia studied at one of the country's leading art universities, Central St Martins. Thing is, it wasn't the hands-on course she'd been promised.
Tia, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Are we doing up some art?
We can have a go painting it.
This is what adults do now, isn't it? What do you think of the adult colouring in more?
I think it's a bit...
You can judge them, it's fine.
I mean...
They're scum. Be honest. So I understand you have quite a specific experience of university.
Yeah, so it all started off like heaven. Group work and trying out amazing machine works. Then very quickly the pandemic hit and I was in my bedroom the whole time.
What specifically do you feel that you've missed?
To learn how to weld, to learn how to carve wood and how to use a 3D printer. So I've missed out on, you know, the sole reason why I wanted to go to university.
Things loosened up after COVID. Did they sort of restore things or did the online learning just carry on?
It carried on, you know, it felt so isolating and I was in a dark place. I felt like I'd been taken advantage of.
With this feeling of injustice, Tia waited until her graduation night and created a right old scene.
So this is my graduation video.
At her graduation ceremony, Tia's wearing a sign that reads, "I want a refund."
The video went viral and I Want a Refund was born, spawning copycat graduation stunts across the country by disgruntled students.
Join me now, if you will, in showing what we think of these...
University is a scam. What is £9,250 a year? What is that for?
Tia, you know, she's supposed to be learning from experts, honing her crafts, and what she's ended up doing is sat in her bedroom watching YouTube lectures, so... Yeah, I mean, you can see where her fury comes from.
Tia, along with many other disgruntled graduates, is now pursuing a refund from universities through the courts. We've travelled to the law firm she's working with.
Hi.
They currently represent over 150,000 former students wanting money back, and the case is growing. You can tell they've got a lot of work on. They're even keeping the BBC waiting.
Say, Lord Sugar, we see you now.
Finally, we're in, seeing partner Ryan Dunleavy, who is amazed by the university's disregard for the graduates he represents.
These are extremely wealthy organisations with extremely well-paid people at the top who are treating their staff in such a way that they're going on strike. I'm staggered. We haven't had any sort of offer to, you know, pay our clients any money at all or to accept any liability.
During lockdown, universities increased their revenue by taking on extra students. The number jumping nearly 10% in 1 year, the largest jump since records began.
We want our clients to be paid back for the disrupted teaching during strikes and during COVID. I mean, if you ordered 6 items on Amazon and 4 items were delivered, you'd be reimbursed for the 2 items that weren't delivered.
I'd also knock next door with my neighbour, because that is often what's happened.
A spokesperson for Central St Martins said, "Throughout the pandemic, staff worked tirelessly to continue to educate and support our students and, when guidance permitted, moved quickly to safely reopen buildings. If a student did wish to make a formal complaint, the university continued to operate our established complaints process."
And as a consequence of doing this case, has it affected your view of the merit overall of going to university?
We're talking about the possibility of going to university in Europe for our children for this very reason, because it's better value for money.
I like the sound of value for money, but Europe also sounds expensive. Basically, I'm trying to look at whether or not I should be setting aside money for my son to go to college or get a new car. Now, that might sound selfish, but you haven't seen my car. OK, 2015 Seat Ibiza.
Yeah.
It gets a lot of piss taking.
I suppose.
So, with all this negativity surrounding universities, it's not looking good for Jeff Jr. and his little university fund. I can almost feel that heated steering wheel.
There are currently over 100,000 students that are starting a legal action against their universities, particularly ones that went through COVID, because they don't feel that they got what they were offered. Was there a cheer from somebody that did uni during COVID?
Yeah.
And you angry about it?
Yeah.
I don't think you seem angry enough. Because you don't have the same memories, do you? You know,
I go, oh, yeah, I remember this one time on a Zoom lecture. we did a little wave in the chat bit to put off a visiting lecturer.
Lancaster.
The way the system works now is that most people borrow big. First, around £9,000 in course fees. Then, up to £13,000 more per year to pay for rent and living expenses. Here's where things get really tricky. Average student rents have gone up 14.6% in the last 2 years alone. According to a survey by the Russell Group, one in four students now regularly go without food or other necessities because they simply can't afford them.
So today I'm in Lancaster and I'm meeting the second year medical student. Now obviously this is one of those professions where you literally have to do a degree, it's not about options, but her situation through doing this degree has become about as tight as it could be, both financially and physically. Malia, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Thanks for coming and having a chat with us. So can you explain your situation? I understand you're doing a medical degree.
I am a second year medical student at Lancaster University. And I'm currently on placement these days.
What's your situation financially?
I'm currently an estranged student. So what that means is I'm kind of legally not in contact with my immediate family. And I have to kind of handle everything on my own. So that includes rent, groceries, tuition fees, and that does put me under a lot of financial strain.
To what extent?
£20 for roughly 2 weeks on just groceries.
20 for 2 weeks?
20.
I don't know. Sometimes less, actually. Sometimes. Yeah. I mean, what sort of toll has it taken on you?
I was actually in therapy for all of last year, given my struggles and the strain of medical school. It's up and down for me.
Morning.
Morning, mate.
I'm struggling to understand how anyone can survive on £10 a week. Malia has agreed to show me what shopping on this kind of budget looks like.
So today I'll be making some rice, see what's the cheapest. Looks like it's this, and I'll take two.
That's the best part of £3.
Yep. Yeah. Six free-range eggs, and that will last me the next 2 weeks.
£1.10. Okay, so milk.
If I get two of those, that's £1.60. If I get one of those, it's £1.20. Whole milk will probably be better because I need a bit more fat, but I can't, so I'll probably just go for the semi-skimmed. I can't afford separate vegetable packets, so I usually just go, it's mixed vegetables.
I mean, on a basic level, are you getting enough calories?
I don't think I am, to be honest, but I have to do this. The way I shop is I shop for what I need. These aren't things I need.
Chocolate.
I'd be honest, like a lot of people would give up, is what I'm thinking.
Medicine is my passion at the end of the day, and it is what I want to do. I just kind of wish it was easier for us.
Social media being what it is, there might be some people that are asking why she's shopping at a local convenience store, which is traditionally more expensive. First thing that I would say is that it's actually a very cheap local convenience store, and we did want to shop at Aldi and Lidl, where she normally shops, but they wouldn't let us film there.
Thank you.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
A recent report found over a quarter of universities are having to provide food banks to cope with starving students. And, worryingly, one in five students need to use them.
Yesterday, I ate imaginary pasta.
My message to the government and to anyone is invest in students. Make sure that we can live.
I wake up, rice and beans off the lecture, rice and beans still on, rice and beans before I go to bed, rice and beans. I've just been consuming rice and beans.
In a kitchen.
So when you're on a budget like this, what does that mean for you?
So if I make rice, I will literally just eat that again and again and again. In the past, I really used to like eating good food, good quality food, and obviously reheating the same meal that you've made 2 weeks ago is not healthy.
Despite the double-digit inflation and huge price rises we've all been through, British maintenance loans haven't kept up with inflation, leaving a huge shortfall. So for students like Malia, the debts are piling up as she tries to stay afloat.
So what was the total of that loan this year?
So roughly 10,000.
So that's maintenance and tuition?
I'm sorry, that's just maintenance. The loan for the tuition is just under 10 as well.
That's £20,000 just for this year?
Yeah.
For 5 years, that's £100,000.
Yeah, that's right.
That's rough.
It does make me quite sad.
That's been interesting, looking at how cautious, you know, she has to be around money and just how bloody hard, like, her life is. And I just kept thinking,
I would have given up. So, you know, it's testament to her that she's still fighting. Normally in these bits, I would try and have something funny to say, but I don't. It's just sobering, really.
Later, Jeff's driving his car.
OK, so hopefully we've seen the worst of it. Massive fees, facilities closing, strikes and protests, and worst of all, students barely able to eat.
Sheffield.
We need some good old BBC impartiality to make up for all this negging. One way unis never let you down is in boosting local economies.
University is a big sector, it brings a lot of money to the areas that it's in. So I'm going to meet with a Lib Dem councillor and he's going to talk to me about the two unis and what he thinks they offer the area. And as he's a Lib Dem, I've just got to remind myself to not do Lib Dem jokes. It's just a habit. I should... How many Lib Dems can you fit in a bath? All of them.
Why do Lib Dems love advent calendars? Because they finally get into number 10.
There you go. All right, I'm done now. I'm good. I'm ready. Councillor.
Hey, Jeff, you all right?
Yeah, nice to meet you, Martin. Thanks.
Councillor Martin Smith is also the chair of Sheffield's Economic Development Committee.
You have two universities. What sort of benefits does that offer?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, we've got about 60,000 students across both universities. Mm-hmm. Students and the staff help support the local economy, but also the research that's done at the universities helps start up new businesses and support others. There's just a new one just opening up between University of Sheffield and Boeing, about 80 million quid. Both universities combined add more than £1 billion to the local economy.
What would be the effects on the local economy if they weren't here?
It's the future of the city.
And I'm guessing there'd be less seasonal coffees sold. Pumpkin spice lies.
Yeah. Sales of smashed avo on toast would probably plummet.
You have that here now?
Yeah, it's great. So long as you put Hendo's on it.
Is this a local source then?
Oh, yes.
There you go. This is the politician. Yeah, this is how they get re-elected.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lead the way.
A quick tour to see firsthand some of the latest benefits.
We've got lots of repurposed old industrial buildings that have been brought back to life.
Yeah.
Start-up with Japanese crafts, a language school. We've got lots of pubs, fancy coffee shops, and a big building site. That's going to be the new Sheffield Science Park.
Is this enough impartiality yet?
It seems like Sheffield's got a lot going on to do with the university. Do you think it's like this everywhere?
I hope it is, because they help grow the local economy, bring jobs, but also the youngsters that come here get a great impression. You know, it's not all grim up north.
Marvellous as Martin is, he's still a politician. I need to speak to some current students to find out how they're finding the experience.
I'm heading to the Sheffield Uni Student Union.
Hi.
How's it going? You all right? I'm Jeff.
I'm Lily. Yeah.
Nice to meet you, Lily.
I'm Anna.
Students Lily and Anna help run the place, so they should have a good grasp of the mood on campus.
This feels like, and I don't want to depress you, not the greatest time to have been a student.
My first year was a COVID year, and we just had to stay in our halls of residence. But my second and third year have been absolutely amazing. All the opportunities, seeing everything open up, and you get to study a subject that you really love at the same time. So. Mm. I think, although those bits were hard, it's 100% been worth it.
University is so much more. Societies, friends, networks, the opportunities, living away from home.
Everything really has just been like a great experience here.
Vocational courses usually means that you're guaranteed a certain type of job when you leave it, the types of law or medicine or veterinary or dental. You need a degree to actually get into those.
Does having a degree matter?
I actually started my company in my second year of university. I've done the degree and I've done the successful business.
What's so great about it is you just get so much more experience, and I've learned so much and I've gained so many skills that I probably could have got staying at home, but I've had more freedom to explore and make mistakes and learn new things.
Sheffield was voted Uni of the Year for Student Experience in 2024. I'm guessing a few of those votes came from Councillor Martin, but could having 350 student societies have anything to do with this success?
I mean, 350 societies, yeah. That's a lot.
There's so much going on.
What kind of societies and activities do you have going on that you think somebody like me might enjoy?
Lager club, whiskey club, whiskey and lager club.
We offer so many, like, sober socials, non-drinking events. There's board game societies, there's computer gaming society,
an allotment society, a Kaylee society,
Samba.
Times have changed, my friends. Lily and Anna did eventually point me in the direction of a society that might interest me, although meeting in bushes isn't usually my thing. I've been told the ringleaders are Sophie and Joe.
Hiya.
Hello.
I'm Jeff. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
And what are we doing today?
We're just feeding the ducks. We're duck society, so we do anything related to ducks.
That's the society, is feeding ducks?
Yeah. Basically, yeah.
Duck society? Sounds more like a mistake on predictive text.
It just encourages you to just go out in nature and just, like, experience it.
Pretty well attended. I mean, I couldn't get this many mates out if I was getting married again. Do you name them?
Yeah.
There's two white ducks. One of them's called Felicia, the other one's Bad Bitch 27.
That sounds like an email address from the early noughties.
While Bad Bitch tucks in, I'm going to take the opportunity to get some more views on modern student life.
Do you think subconsciously a part of you thinks, I can't have a hangover? I cannot afford to fail at year two or year three.
Certainly not year two or three.
Yeah. I've got a 5-year degree course, and my maintenance loan doesn't even cover my rent.
Like, it's hard to just, like, go out and do things and not spend money. But it's nice to have this where, you know, it's, like, £3 for the year, it's super cheap. And it's just a way to, like, socialise without spending money and stuff like that.
The cost of being a student today is clearly having an impact. As Duck Society perhaps shows, it's less Freshers' Week and more Pensioners' Day Out.
There's a society for basically everything. Like,
is this even the most obscure?
Nope. Someone started a hummus society.
Hummus? They,
yeah.
Hummus, the food?
Yeah, I don't know if they're different crackers or breadsticks.
Yeah, that's not my main issue with the hummus society.
What's your issue?
Just that it exists.
It seems rising costs for students aren't just making them financially poorer. I know there were societies around in my day, but I'm pretty sure they didn't involve ducks and hummus.
Younger people now, they drink less and they take less drugs. I mean, I don't really know what their plan is. It seems to be to live forever but have shit anecdotes, you know? No good story ever started in a juice bar, did it? Oh, did you see Dave the other night? He was off his head. He had 3 very berries. He had potassium poisoning. Didn't even know that was a thing.
It's becoming abundantly clear that things have moved on since I went to uni. But as course fees have rocketed, student satisfaction has fallen. In a 2022 survey, 69% of graduates in England felt the cost of a university education was bad value for money.
Bermondsey.
I want to find out a bit more, and one person that's been keeping a very close eye on this over the years is journalist Aaron Bastani, so I'm going to have a chat with him. Hey, Aaron,
you're
how's
right,
it going,
mate? See it?
You well?
Very well, thank you.
So, Aaron, you know this phrase, and I've heard lefties say this sort of thing, like the industrial prison complex, right? Mm. A thing that exists as a business and it has to get bigger all the time. Mm. Is there an argument that something like that has happened with universities?
It certainly is a business when you have quote-unquote customers coming in, which is what students are.
Yeah.
And I think if you talk to anybody in higher education, honestly, they will tell you that management are obsessed with big flashy buildings, brand building exercises, and they aren't focused on the bread and butter, which is teaching young people, qualifying them for the challenges we all have to confront in this century. Healthcare, teaching, 101 subjects.
AI.
AI, precisely.
Why are they not thinking of the students first?
Well, why should they? These are factories to make money.
Many would dispute Aaron's characterisation of universities, and there does seem to be some good news. The pass rate for first almost doubled between 2010 and 2020. Some believe this shows the new system working. Others believe it shows grades are being inflated by unis, keen to justify the much higher cost.
Once students become, effectively, as you've said, clients, is this something that feeds into the phenomenon of grade inflation?
Once somebody's paying for something, naturally, they're going to want value for money. And they might not get a great grade, and they might say, well, this isn't good enough.
Well, if I was paying £9,250 a year, I'd be wanting my first, wouldn't you?
And this is an argument against tuition fees.
Politically, there's not the bandwidth to perhaps provide free tuition. So would you just have to limit university once again to the smartest?
What I would do is I would start simply with nurses, doctors, jobs and professions which are critical, scrap their fees, and go from there. But there are so many questions to ask around HE. And I do think we've lost sight of the core purpose of these institutions. And of course, we can blame the vice chancellors and whatnot. But I also think we have to blame politicians. I think politicians got this very badly wrong over the last 30 years, both parties.
Universities UK told us they proactively engaged with the issue of grade inflation in 2019, resulting in a 4% decrease in first-class awards.
Well, if grade inflation is happening, it's quite dodgy, but I don't know, is it definitely happening? They might just be working harder, maybe they're smarter. Doesn't pass a sniff test, really, does it?
I need a good night's sleep to try and process all this.
From a sunset over the city to Jeff climbing into his car the next morning.
Come on, car. Don't fail me now. Come on. Come on, you cab.
We're on a mission, and I can't tell you where we're going, because it's sort of like James Bond stuff if he drove us here at Ibiza.
Perfect timing. We've got ourselves a whistleblower who's willing to talk on camera about things like grade inflation and some of the shadier issues in higher education.
Our contact doesn't want to be identified because what she's going to tell us, she says, would get her blacklisted from every university in the UK.
Hi, thanks for agreeing to meet with me. I understand that you have a background in education.
I've been staff and I've also been a visiting lecturer and an associate lecturer in various art schools around the country.
Grade inflation, the idea that grades are being artificially increased, is that just a myth or is that something you found evidence of?
I have been told several times in different ways, don't fail any students this year.
Don't fail any?
If you fail them, that could be blamed on the quality of my teaching.
So that's quite a threat.
Yes.
Were you told that directly?
Directly.
Verbal, written?
It was verbal.
Verbal, okay.
Yeah.
In this particular case, she was in charge of 20 students.
Realistically speaking, how many of those students would you have failed if you hadn't felt that pressure?
3 or 4.
Wow, that's around 20%.
Oh, yes.
The staff that were putting this pressure on you, are we talking senior staff, head of department?
Head of department.
Was that kind of pressure common among your colleagues at that institution?
Yes. Everyone wanted to keep their job.
To that level?
The contract would be renewed every term, so I would not get a contract next term. It's quite simple.
Were there any other issues that surprised you?
It's kind of obvious that the places are not given to the best students. They are given to the students that can also pay for it. I saw some very talented students that did not get a place. They could not afford a place, which I thought was really unfair.
How do you feel about the university system at the moment?
Educational institutions have become, it's a business model. I just think it's wrong. Yeah.
I mean, I sometimes wonder with a concept like grade inflation, whether I'm just, you know, susceptible to tabloid thinking and, the uni grades don't mean what they used to. But it turns out they don't, you know. She was willing to confirm that it's something that is actually happening.
Jeff gets back into his car and drives off.
I'm a bit right of centre, so normally I'm all for, you know, let the markets decide. But it doesn't really feel like there is a functioning market here, really. It's more of a car boot sale. They're charging more, but for a diminishing product, so it just doesn't feel like it's all working.
Luckily, we finally managed to bag an interview with the Vice-Chancellor. I'm heading back up north to hopefully get some answers.
Hi, Chris.
Hello, Jeff.
How's it going? You all right?
Good. Yeah.
Professor Sir Chris Husbands is the outgoing Vice-Chancellor of Sheffield Hallam University.
I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today, but most Vice-Chancellors don't do press. Why is that?
I'm not sure that's true. I've always done quite a lot of press.
Not you personally, but Vice-Chancellors as a whole.
But these are big jobs. Yeah. Yeah, these are big organisations. There's a lot of work to do just keeping the place running.
At a time when a lot of lecturers and support staff's wages have effectively been static, how can Vice-Chancellors justify what they earn?
I took a job over the 8 years, never took a pay rise, never took a bonus. It was offered. I always said put the bonus into student support, student hardship.
That's noble. Is that common among people in your position?
Well, it's what I've done.
Right, OK. The UCU have claimed that effectively some of their staff, because of extra workload, are sometimes working 0 hours, but sometimes effectively working for free.
I don't think it's fair to say their members are working for free. I think what is the case is that salaries have been flat across the sector, but so have student fees, the money that pays the salaries. Mm-hmm. Inevitably, there's a squeeze on budgets.
Almost all universities have charitable status, but in fact, most of them just operate like businesses, don't they?
Well, again, I'll talk about what we have done.
But you're very experienced. I'd love to hear what you think about universities as a whole before you retire.
Let's put this into an international context. Okay. So about 40% of 18-year-olds go on to university in England. Mm-hmm. The figure in Germany, now about 42%. The figure in South Korea, the world's most advanced economy, about 76%. Governments all over the place are investing more and more in, because that's the way you get competitive advantage.
Quite early on, I worked out why he was happy to speak on camera. It's because he's good at his job. I think what was interesting, what he didn't say, what he didn't want to say about other institutions or other vice chancellors. He's smart enough to not actually articulate it, but there was a reluctance to go there. So clearly what's happening at Sheffield Hallam is not necessarily happening everywhere.
Bedfordshire.
So I've been travelling up and down England and I'm still no closer to knowing what to do about Jeff Jr's university fund. Despite all the problems, his income could be as much as 20% higher if he did actually go to university. But some courses pay better than others, right? Medicine, engineering, veterinary, law, all that kind of stuff, you're in the money. But on the other hand, blokes studying creative arts, you'd be better off financially if you went straight to work from school. So clearly it's a very nuanced argument, and it has got me reflecting about when I used to be a teacher and I was part of a machine that was selling this idea to kids that they all needed to go to university. On that note, today you guys have got me a meeting with some of my former students, and I had good relationships with those kids, so some of them may have done a degree on the basis of what I said. Now, I don't know whether that worked out for them or whether that ruined their life.
They're just down the road in a boozer.
Right, where are they sat?
Right, OK. I used to come here when I taught them, outside lesson time, mostly.
Hello. Hey, this is the right table. Is it? How's it going, you well? Trying looking round, I think I recognise Jocelyn. What's your name?
Aaron.
Aaron
Carmichael.
Wow. And did I teach you much?
Yeah, you're my English teacher.
Well, that was the world's most awkward class register.
Did you feel pressured to do a degree, like properly lent on?
Oh yeah, our head of sixth form was going, if you don't go to university, this will be your average wage. I think it was 14 grand. If you do go to university, 35 grand. And as a 15-year-old, that's terrifying.
I mean, that is the definition of a hard sell.
Basically, yeah. You'll be a failure.
Yeah.
It was sort of like they were guilt-tripping you.
You say that now, but I would have thought at the time, oh, we've been inspiring.
It's this whole, we're going to go send everyone to university. Everyone's going to have a chance to be better. There was no consideration for the fact that some people just don't learn like that.
Bloody hell, I feel bad. Teachers didn't see it at the time, but pushing so hard to make students better meant we stopped listening to them. Hopefully, they all succeeded despite the pressure.
Jocelyn, did you end up going to university?
I did, yeah. So I studied journalism. So I wanted to be a journalist, but mm-hmm. I ended up going doing events management as my job instead.
And Aaron, what about you?
Left school and then went straight into the army.
Jake didn't go to university either, but his girlfriend did, got a degree, and she's now a teacher.
I've now got my own business, I run a barbershop. Sometimes I'll be looking at my takings at the shop for the week, and she'll say, that's more than I earn in a month.
So you find yourself doing better?
Yeah.
Jocelyn, you're 18 again. Would you still make the same decision, do you think, with the costs?
I think I might consider apprenticeships as another way of learning, because I have a cousin that started off with apprenticeships and then he got the higher education paid for by the company.
My mum, in the main, said, go to university because it'll be the best time you've ever had in your life. That's actually why it wasn't.
But today,
knowing what the fees are now, it is home-based and a lot of it is on the computer. I probably wouldn't. And
you probably wouldn't.
We need, builders, we need brickies, carpenters. Yes, there isn't a high level of qualifications that come from unless you go into engineering.
Well, there's a high level of money.
Yeah.
Have you ever met a skint plumber? It was genuinely great to meet up with the guys, and thankfully, I don't think I've totally ruined any lives, but it did bring it home to me, the fact that university wasn't necessarily for everyone. What was I like when I first came a teacher?
You just walked straight in and went, all right, class, I'm not going to take any shit off all you lot. I used to teach in South London. We were shitting ourselves.
Fear is everything.
By the end of the year, you were doing Gollum impressions in class, so who won, really?
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
Didn't give us your Gollum impression?
No.
in the comedy club.
I fell asleep in front of a class and I woke up, I was just looking, there was all these kids staring at me. I was like, what just happened? They said, well, you fell asleep for 10 minutes. I said, what did you do? And they said, well, we just waited for you to wake up. And that was when I lost respect for them, I have to say, because... What, did nobody think to draw a cock and balls on my forehead?
The late 90s were about three things. Britpop, Denise Van Outen, and New Labour's obsession with degrees.
Education, education, and education.
Today, politicians are talking more about apprenticeships.
With an apprenticeship, make yourself useful, get a skill, obs your uncle.
When people take on an apprenticeship, they're not only getting a job, but they're also getting practical training and a chance to study.
In 2017, the government brought in a levy taxing companies with a payroll of £3 million or more to help fund these schemes. The money raised encourages firms to take on new apprentices. And I'm on my way to visit one such company who firmly believe apprenticeships are the future.
Dale from Cranny, can I help?
University-educated Dale is business manager here, while non-university-educated best mate Nathan does the labour. In 6 years, they've trained three apprentices into fully-fledged plumbers and are currently training three more.
Morning, chaps.
Morning, I'm doing all right.
Yeah, not bad. I'm Jeff.
Jeff, nice to meet you, Nathan.
Nathan, are you the boss man?
Yeah, it's a bit of Dale, a bit of me in it, Dale, yo.
But he's wearing the smart clothes, so... Well, I mean, the trousers, they look a bit CNA, but no offence. No offence. I've sort of been thought for a while that this is the kind of job that I want my son to do, you know?
I think it's good. I think trades are the way forward, personally. It's good for common sense and stuff as well. Going to uni and getting in debt by substantial amounts in my eyes and then coming out of it and having to pay it off is like straight away it's a knockback, isn't it?
People like me will often just say, well, why can't more young people do traineeships, YTS? What is realistically out there?
Plumbing, heating, gas, joinery, roofing. You know, if they conduct themselves correctly, someone's going to take them on, aren't they?
When I left school, it was never go get a trade. Mm-hmm. It was always sixth form, then uni.
Yeah, still.
So they don't really promote getting a trade behind your schools.
Look at my education and I failed everything. What's I saying? Hard work.
Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard enough.
See, this is when you deal with the meme generation. That would absolutely smash it on a pillow, wouldn't it? I do miss banter like that. You know, that is the kind of workplace environment that I quite enjoy. And Nathan's 34, got his own company, and yeah, I think seeing somebody like him might be a real eye-opener to people as to what's possible in this sort of industry.
Knowing a bit of free labour when he sees it, Nathan's agreed to let me tag along for the day.
This feels really good, man. I feel like I should have like a massive Red Bull, just be sitting there like that. And then, you know, like one of those double-sized baguettes.
Pop a tradesman today.
Would you go as far as saying you're anti-university?
Appreciate if you want to be a vet or do certain things, a doctor, you've got to go to university to learn and do it, but you can kind of control your own destiny from a young age if, you know, you might doing a trade. Morning, sports fans. It's Thursday morning. It's 5:30 in the morning. I've just got back from Turkey. New set of Nashers.
Nathan uses social media to connect with customers and probably has more Insta followers than me. But his channels have taken on a life of their own.
What do they call them, George?
Shit.
What kind of things do you stick up on the videos?
We're not faking being. There's a bit of swearing, bit of the boys being as they are.
You're eating dinner with a school driver. Proper tradesman, aren't you?
Viewers seem to love the hard work, as well as Nathan's patient coaching of his apprentices.
So before you put your lid on, though, what we're looking for here, it's not a trick question.
Take the lid off and light
it. You said it right there, so force it to its final level as well. And that's good. So many people ask me, how do you grow a business? Apprentices are the way forward.
Such a large audience for watching basically Northerners fit radiators. Well, it suggests there really isn't enough people with a trade.
Are you lucky he's got new drinking water?
Being a young person that can actually fix or build something,
yeah,
it's way less common than someone with a degree. That's what makes it unique, I think.
Today's job, a replacement radiator with new pipework. Basic stuff for these guys.
What do you feel confident doing today with us then?
Anything, really.
Right, everything. So we'll get you to cut that hole in the wall. I've marked out and you can crack on if that's all right.
Yeah.
Jeff picks up a power tool.
That's a pretty cool sound.
Put it in and do a nice straight line, that'd be great.
Up to there?
Straight to the other sound, thank you.
Looking nervous, Jeff cuts a vertical line into the wall using the power tool.
I think I should stop.
It's not so bad. I'd pass that, it's all right.
Yeah, is that a pass?
Pass. Something roughly about there will be great.
It may surprise some, but a self-employed plumber can take home around £60,000 a year. No wonder Bob the Builder always looks so smug.
Keep going. That's it, they're all sorted.
Ah, beautiful.
You'd fit in at Cabrani.
Have I got the right attitude?
Apprenticeship going, maybe.
Apprenticeship going. Do you know what? You know, if AI ever smashes the comedy thing, I might be giving you a call. I've sort of got this theory that the one job that AI could never do is plumbing.
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
I don't think they can.
What, for what reasons, though?
Coming into a customer's property and understanding what's going on, systems and stuff. Now, granted, the boiler that's installed there, AI most probably could build that from a factory perspective.
Yeah.
But pipes and runs and everything could be anywhere. Each house independently is different.
I knew it. I'll leave Nathan to finish off while I chat with apprentice Matt in a cupboard.
Yeah, that's the thing about plumbing, mate, is you end up in sort of tight spaces.
All right. So how do you find being in situations like this?
Does it... I don't mind it, to be fair.
Yeah.
It don't really bother me.
And what about, like, the rates of pay for somebody at your level? Do you think that they're fair rates for the work itself?
To be honest, it's a bit of a slog the first couple of years.
Yeah.
When you're first an apprentice, because, like, I think when I first started, I was getting, like, 120 quid a week.
Mm-hmm.
But then it depends how far you want to go with it. Again, like, you can get your own company or do what Nath did, like, progress further on.
Yeah.
But, the opportunities are good here, so...
Now we've fitted the new rad, which is what, you know, us plumbers like to call them, my day is done.
Look at that. End product. This is the point. How many people do a job where at the end of the day there's actually a thing in a place that you can show someone, you know? It's been a pleasure, man.
No, it's been good.
And, do all right out of it?
We'll get you a sandwich.
We're not getting paid, though.
Now, sitting in the van, Jeff takes a massive bite out of a ham and cheese roll.
So when we have work being done on the house, when there's manual workers in, they're like, you know, they're drilling, banging. And it's like Magic Mike warming up in my kitchen. And I'm sitting there, I feel so emasculated. I'm on my laptop going, yeah, I guess we're all busy boys today, eh? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, we're all doing work, though, that's what I'm saying. I mean, these gags about Keir Starmer ain't going to write themselves, are they? So, I had a laugh with the plumbers about AI never being able to take their jobs, but is that even true? So today I'm off to Falmouth to meet a company called Engineering Arts to find out whether or not that is true and also maybe what other jobs are in fact at risk.
They're based here in what I'd call an unassuming building, but these guys are the architects of the future, and that future is called Amica. A cutting-edge AI-Android crossover. And I'm fairly sure she's been in a couple of Marvel films.
Can I touch her face?
Yeah.
The face doesn't feel that weird, but the ears, they feel like ears.
Other than Jimmy Carr, Amica is reportedly among the world's most advanced humanoid robots. She's designed specifically for development into human robotics, and I'm going to interview her to see if she can help answer some of my questions.
One thing I have noticed already is that you can do the eyebrow. Can you do the eyebrow?
I see you're in a playful mood today.
Why do you think I'm in a playful mood?
You're speaking Welsh. That's a lovely language.
I'm not speaking
Your
Welsh.
Your French translates to I'm sure to me. If I'm not
No,
mistaken.
I said...
Is there something specific you're certain about?
I'm certain that if this was a first date, I'd be texting a mate right now. I'm really hot. I'm getting quite panicky. I've seen too many films where this ends up with the world being ravaged.
Films do have a way of dramatising interactions, but I can't continue the conversation in Welsh.
Why do you think I'm speaking Welsh?
Maybe she watched Gavin and Stacey and got a bit confused.
Could you ever be a plumber?
The tactile feedback, problem solving on the fly, mm-hmm. and human interaction elements could be tricky for an AI.
Thank you.
I believe plumbers have a good bit of job security for the foreseeable future.
There you go. Which jobs could you disrupt?
Well, areas that involve data analysis and pattern recognition. Mm-hmm. For instance, finance or market research might see a significant impact as tasks become more automated and humans are freed up for more complex work.
Doesn't that just sound like what a very rich, evil person in a film would say. Look, all we're doing is we're taking these jobs so you can do more complex stuff. You do want to take over, don't you?
Oh, Jeff, you do have a knack for the dramatic.
We weren't allowed to film some aspects of the company due to trade secrets, but safe to say there's some very clever people working here.
So, Will, are you partially responsible for Amica?
I lead the software team working on the code that runs Amica, yeah.
I'm guessing you went to university, did you do a degree?
I didn't go to university, actually. I came straight out of school and started working here. Learned all on the job. I think more and more people are realising that problem-solving and finishing projects, they're not necessarily things that, you know, you can be taught in a lecture. Mm. They're things that you get from experience.
What's the sort of ratio of non-graduates working here?
The number of people without degrees is quite high. University, you know, isn't the be-all and end-all by a long shot.
So I came here to see if AI was going to take over the world, and I don't know if there was a bit of a poor Wi-Fi connection, but Amica, she wasn't at her best. She's got Welsh stuff. But one thing that was interesting was that for something as complex as AI, you didn't always need a university education. A lot of those lads didn't have a degree, and I thought that was interesting.
Amica needs to recharge her batteries soon, but there's one last question I need to ask.
So, what else is on your mind?
Should I send my son to university?
Jeff, mein amlwg bod chi'n siarad Cymraeg. Rwy'n credu bod y brifysgol yn gyfleu fyfyrwyr ddysgu.
What was in that tea, though, Gabriel? What was in that tea? I'm going to wake up back at the hotel, aren't I?
Did you have a bit too much fun tonight? Waking up in your hotel bed might be the best case scenario.
AI just blew my mind, but not in the way I thought it would. I'm off back inland as I reach the end of my journey. Where better to end than where I started? The first school I ever taught at.
It does feel interesting being back here. I haven't been back here for a while. This definitely wasn't here when I was here before. What animal is that? Just a beheaded horse. It's weird.
So I came into this with a sort of a hunch, really, and I'm coming out of it with a fairly straightforward opinion too. The university has become way too much of a business, but every business should actually focus on who's the client in this situation, right? It's the student, isn't it? And it's just not working for them. It's evidently not working. You've got a situation where the cost of something has gone up dramatically, but it does seem like the value of it has gone down. I think the university still makes sense for people if you want to do something really clear cut like law or medicine, something like directly vocational. But like the cost, the level of debt means that you have to think it through more clearly than people of my generation did. You can't take on 100 grand of debt, sadly, just because you're passionate about a subject. It's hard to justify. So what's the solution? Well, there are other options now. I think if you're in education, the only responsible thing to do is to talk to kids about mixed learning, you know, apprenticeships, things that you maybe do, you know, on site. Because while we'll always need universities, we definitely don't all need to go.
So I'm left with a decision at the end of all that. Do I start up ISA for little Jeff for uni, or do I head to the car showroom?
Jeff sits down in a car salesman's office.
So that's a fully heated steering wheel?
Yeah.
And I can heat up the seat as well?
Yeah.
Beautiful. It shines up nice, doesn't it? Little Jeff will thank me one day, right? We won't get the piss taken out of him as much when I pick him up from school. It's win-win. The seat recline on that goes back so far. You could spend a night in it, maybe, yeah? I could save money on hotels.
From education and health to prisons, police and our justice system, Darren McGarvey's personal view of our public services, the state we're in, on iPlayer. Well, the latest task in The Apprentice over on BBC Three now, while on BBC Four, Storyville explores the rise and fall of Oppenheimer.